Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's always this minute right before I minister, before I come up. Almost every single time I have to minister, there's always this minute that, or this second where I think, dear Jesus, what am I got to do? What am I about to do? If you don't know my past, I was so afraid of speaking in public. And glory to God, I just have to ignore all you out there and pretend that I'm just here by myself. Glory to God, I love what Reverend Greer says. Excuse me if I just preach to myself. Praise the Lord. I believe that that's, you know, part of what the ministering the office is for. You know, if you hear me in prayer, thanking God for the office of pastor, I'm not thanking God for me. You know, and I'm not asking you to thank God for me. I'm thanking God for the office that he's given, he's placed in my life to help people, praise the Lord. And I realize that that office is so much bigger than I am, and it's so much better than I am, glory to God. And I don't say that as any kind of downplay on me. I know God has made me special, praise the Lord, just as he's made you special. We are his own special people. But I recognize that, you know, without God, we can't do any of this, amen? I can't do it, and you can't do it. And, you know, that's part of the realization. Sometimes, you know, I don't know if you've ever been there, you sat through a message where you've been hearing the word, and you're just like, dear Jesus, I can't do that. I just don't know how I'm ever going to do that. I don't know how. I don't have that ability. Well, you're in good company. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I say you're in good company because I go before the Lord all the time and say, Lord, I can't do that. But see, the Lord loves that. That's what's called being humble. Amen. Recognizing that you can't do it on your own accord and that you are going to just follow him and do what he says to do. Amen. Because God's got great things for us, and he knows that those great things are much bigger than we are. They're much further beyond our ability than what we're capable of. But amen, God loves us. Hallelujah. And he said, I won't leave you or forsake you. You know, and that doesn't just mean that, you know, he's not going to leave you alone. But when you can't do it, when you can't get there, that's when that haven't left us or forsaken us kicks in. Amen. And that's where it comes out and starts helping us. And aren't you glad? Praise the Lord, that we can know that no matter what's going on, you know, there's times where, you know, I have to be careful. I really have to be careful watching the news, because it doesn't matter what news source you turn into. There's a bunch of fear that's always being perpetuated and things like that. But, you know, sometimes even watching the news, I can think, man, this is so much bigger than we are. What are we ever going to do? And the greatest thing is we don't have to do anything other than what God has taught us to do. And that's just to follow him. Amen. And with that, we'll lead in today's service, which is called To Be Christian is to Be Led. Amen. To be Christian is to be led. And what we're talking about today is just being the leading of the Spirit of God, how to know what the leading of the Spirit of God is. And we're going to just touch on it. We're not going to by any means do an exhaustive study on it today. But it just seemed right as I was, this week as I was answering a question, this sparked off in me, amen? And I just realized that, hey, this is something that would be good to teach right now. And don't you love it? See, that's why it's always good, I say, to pull on that office. You know, sometimes some of you will send me messages during the week, and I know a lot of times you think maybe like you're bothering me. Please understand you're never bothering me if you're asking a question. I'm open to it. I love it. And one of the reasons I love it so much is because I get to see the office work just as you get to see the office work. What do I mean by that? It means that I can't just turn it on and turn it off. I can't make me be anything. I only do so by the grace of God. But one thing I know is that where people are hungry and thirst, when they hunger and thirst, the Bible says for righteousness, that they shall be filled, glory to God. And so as people hunger and thirst for that, as they pull on that office or on that gifting, what happens is it kind of enables it. Amen. You know, the name pastor, I don't know why I'm on this, but it'll help you, I'm sure. The name pastor literally means shepherd, amen? And we know a shepherd's job is to guide and to lead and stuff like that. Praise the Lord. But God has put that office on me. And so but what I was going to say with that is if a shepherd has no sheep, there is no purpose of being a shepherd, right? If you're you can call yourself a farmer all day long, but if you don't have a farm, you're not much of a farmer, amen? And so the same thing is with a shepherd. And so the point to that is that when the sheep, they pull on that or they have need of that office, then God feeds them through that office. So when you ask a question, what it does in me is my spirit lights up. And all of a sudden, there'll be answers there that maybe I didn't even know. And I know I say things like this often, but it's good for you to understand that this is a supernatural thing that happens here every single week, amen? Every single time that you come to God, it's a supernatural thing. And so even coming to church, I know you're hearing me, but it isn't to hear me. You don't come here for my benefit or to hear me or to, you know, this isn't the Jeff show, praise the Lord. What this is us coming together as a group under the direction and leading of the Lord to get all that he has for us, praise God. And see, everything I've been talking about for the last almost 10 minutes is exactly what I'm talking about, because none of this was written down. None of this was there. I didn't even know that I would say any of that this morning as I come into the pulpit. These are signs and wonders. These are things being, you know, the Bible says he uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and he's picked the things that are weaker, the things that are lesser. And as I look at my life, often I am confronted with just that very fact that God has picked. I go to God all the time, and I mean literally all the time, and I ask the Lord, why would you choose me for this? And I don't ask him because I'm so happy. I'm asking him because I'm just like, why would you pick me? Because I certainly would have never picked me. But see, God picked me to do the things he's called me to do because there wasn't those things in me that were so full of me, you know what I mean? Like in the sense of like, I thought I was the one that they should pick to speak, amen? For that person. And so God will use that and can use that. And he uses it in the lives of everybody. The reason I share these things is not to talk again, not to have Jeff show, not to talk about me, but it's to encourage you that as God leads you and guides you to do things that he has called you to do, you are very often going to feel like you can't do it. Maybe it'll be somebody in the grocery store that the Lord will put on your heart to go up and start talking to. You know, I had that happen once, not in a grocery store, but in a shoe store of all places. My wife and I were in a shoe store, and there was a man that was working in there, and there was just something in my spirit that kept drawing me to him. And like, I was like, man, I know I got to go talk to this guy, but like, I have no idea how to do it or what I'm going to say or any of these things. And I don't even want to, and all this stuff. And so I was there, and finally I couldn't ignore the leading of the spirit any longer. And as I stood there, and I noticed he would keep looking at me, and there was something that was drawing him to me too. And so finally, I just walked up to him, and I said, you know, I just started opening conversation the weak way I know how. I was stuttering and stammering and just kind of trying to find a word and probably sounding like an idiot. But none of that mattered because God made a divine connection, and I was able to witness to the guy. I was able to minister to the man, and God only knows the effect that will have down the road. And see, so the Lord is leading us, and he's teaching us by these things that it doesn't matter if you don't think you can, because I still don't, so hey, we're in good company, praise the Lord. Amen? In fact, I just know that I can't. In fact, if I'll tell you this right now, that if the Spirit of the Lord left me, I would leave the service. Wherever it was, I would leave it because I would have nothing to give to you. Amen? So today we're talking about being led. To be Christian is to be led. Amen? And the first thing that we have to know about this, that the leading is not a feeling. The leading of God is not a feeling. It never is. Amen? The leading of God is something much greater than a feeling. And really what I mean by that is it's not an emotion. It's not something that, you know, oh, this feels really good. This excites me. So this is the leading of God. That's not the way that it works. Amen? Now, the leading of God is not something that you are going to just be accustomed to, because the thing that you're most accustomed to is, of course, your flesh. You know your flesh better than anything. Your flesh is the loudest. And when you first come in to knowing the Lord, that's what's going to talk the loudest. So you're not going to be able to get the fullness of the leading of God. In fact, you probably won't get very much of it at all. The sad thing is that many times Christians stay in that place of just being consumed by their flesh and never advance to a place where they can hear from God, where they can get the leading of God, because God is not leading by signs and wonders. He is not out there, you know, if you see a cloud that's shaped like a cross, that is not God. That's a cloud shaped like a cross, amen? That's what it is. It doesn't mean that God is speaking to you, and I guarantee you that God will not be speaking to you through clouds, amen? But there are many Christians that think things like that. They think about signs. Actually, what it is it's more superstitious than anything. You know, people think that, you know, a bird flew down and landed and did this, you know, twirly gig on the floor or something, and that must mean God wants me to marry this person who is very evidently not somebody I should marry. You know, things like that. People do crazy things like that. That's not the leading of the Lord. God doesn't lead that way, but God leads by his Spirit on the inside of us. And the only way to get accustomed with his Spirit is to spend time with him, and first and foremost in the Word, amen? Now, recently, you may remember that I preached a message, a very good message, I might add, but it was a message about, I referenced, of course, it was a message based on Hebrews 4:12, and where we talked about that the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even between the soul and the spirit, right? So we understand that we learned a lot about that, and I would encourage you to go back, and I don't remember exactly what message it was, but you could probably find it, or we could help you find it if you want to, but we have to remember that there are different parts of our makeup that make us who we are, and it matters what we're listening to, amen? But the Word of God is the thing that leads us and guides us. So somebody who stays in the Word and prayerfully seeks God as they read the Word is somebody who will learn to hear from God. Now, we must get acquainted with His leading. It is imperative for a Christian's life. If you are going to walk out the plan of God, if you're going to walk into all the things God has for you, you must get acquainted with His leading. Amen? And again, His leading is not your emotions. So learn what the difference between your emotions. A lot of people don't know what their emotions even are. They just get a they get a really good feeling and they think that's something spiritual. But that's not spiritual. And just because you Just because you feel something doesn't mean that it's God. In fact, we have to know that God mostly does not lead that way. Now, I'm not saying He never does, but when God does, it's usually very dramatic in such a way that it's unmistakable or undeniable that it is God. Amen? And so we understand when God leads dramatic, it's undeniable. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you for the water break. Amen? So we must get acquainted with His leading. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now, I remember early on when I was a Christian, I was serving in the church. And I want to write this down real quick just so I don't forget it. Praise the Lord. Early on when I was a Christian in the church, God was, Pastor Nancy Dufresne was in. And she said in that meeting, I don't even remember everything else she preached at this point, but one thing she said in that meeting, she said, you have to know how God speaks to you. Folks, this is important for all of us. We need to know how God speaks to you because God is going to speak to you. He wants to speak to you about your life. He wants to lead you and guide you in every decision that you make. So all those things that you're like, man, I don't know what I should do here, or I don't know what to do, God wants to help you with that stuff. But learning His leading is imperative. Now, there's a few ways we learn His leading. Of course, primarily we learn His leading through the Word of God when we read the Word of God. But this is also one of the purposes of church. That because, the Bible says that you don't put a novice in the pulpit. In other words, I'm just not going to pull somebody out and have them speak and put them in the pulpit. Why am I not going to do that? Because until somebody has trained in this, in hearing from God, they are not qualified to speak to the people of God. And what it will do is it will be misleading. And so often in churches, this is why people get misled, because people who are unqualified stand in a pulpit and preach a message, and people think that they're hearing from God, or they think that that's good for them, and it's not, and it confuses the mind. And listen, our minds are easily confused, if you haven't noticed that. They're easily distracted. They're easily off course. So the primary way we learn to hear from God or hear from His Spirit is through the Word of God. But also we learn as we sit in church. And why do we know as we sit in church? Because if you sit in the right church, what are they teaching you? The Word of God, amen? And so we're expounding on the Word of God. And honestly, one of the things that I do is because for every message I preach, I seek the Lord. I seek His leading. I seek His knowledge on what He wants me to preach. And when I get that knowledge, many times in different, I may have four or five sermons in a week for this church, but I only preach one of them. Why is that? Because that's the one God's led me to. Do you understand that? Like there's a lot of times I'll be going just doing my studying through the week and the Lord will be and the Lord will be giving me revelation. I mean, like, and when you get revelation, you're like, everybody's got to hear this. That's the way you feel. And so I think, man, people got to know this, but the Lord always zeroes in. And sometimes I've even gotten to the pulpit and the Lord's changed the message as I stood in the pulpit. Amen. That's just the way the leading of the Lord works. But it's good. So we, when we come to sit in the right church, in the right place, we hear the word of God and we hear it expounded on and we hear about these little things. All these little things get in us and we learn to hear from God. That's where I first learned to hear from God. I would be sitting in these church services and I was sitting in church service and I would hear my pastor preaching. And just like Pastor Nancy was preaching that one day and she said that one thing, but that one thing lit up my spirit like a rocket ship, and I knew that it was God. I knew that it was something that was imperative that I held on to, and in fact, I've held on to it for all these years. I think about it often and haven't forgotten about it. And then one time when I was pondering these types of things as I was getting ready to get to go to a Wednesday night service in Jamestown when we were still in that church before I was pastoring. And I remember very clearly as I was standing in the shower getting ready for service, very clearly I heard in my spirit, "You know my voice." And as soon as I heard that, he also connected it with these specific times in my life where it was right, where it worked out. See, when you hear the word of God, when you hear the direction of the Lord in your spirit, when you hear that leading, it will always have a good effect. It will always do what it's intended to do. Amen. I know this is a lot of stuff, but again, this is not planned. This is just being brought out right now. Amen. And so we know, based in the Word of God, that this stuff, everything that I'm saying to you, is the Word of God, and so it's truth. Amen. And helping us. So 1 Corinthians 2:12. Praise the Lord. And it says here, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might," what? "Know the things that have been freely given to us by God." One of the most wonderful things about the leading of the Spirit of God is that you can know. Amen? This is what God has determined for each and every one of his people, is that you know. So if you're in a place with something in your life and you don't know, you're in a good place right now because you're about to get your answer. The Spirit of the Lord wants you to know. So if you don't know and it's troubling you at all, you can absolutely know, and it's not hard to know. Amen? Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. Praise God. He wants us to know. But it says more than just know. It says know the things which have been freely given to us by God. One of the things that I love about this knowledge is that God will help us understand things that belong to us. And when you know that something is yours, given to you by God, ain't nobody can take it. There ain't nobody can take it. Amen. One of the things that I know has been given to me by God is Mayville and Corey. Amen. Nobody can take it from me. No devil in hell can take it from me, not unless I give it up. No protesters can take it from me, not unless I give it up. God has given these towns, amen. And if he's made you part of the church, he's given you this town too, amen. The everything here belongs to us, and everything that God has placed us here to create change. He's brought us here, all of us together, not just Pastor Jeff and Pastor Renee, but all of us together. However he's brought you in, he's brought you in to affect change. Oh, that I could just get people to understand and believe this. Because when you know that you're in the right place at the right time to affect the most change, because God wants to do it through you. See, we're always looking to God to change the world, aren't we? We're always looking to God to change things or what's going on in the world. But he wants to do it through us. Now, how does he do it through us? We can't just wave our hands and magically have things appear or whatever. We do it by our faith. We learn faith, we use our faith, and we get into a place that of understanding that wherever we go prospers. And when we know that, everything changes. When the children of God know who they are, man, have you ever seen, so you take like, I don't know why I always think, and I know very little about this celebrity, but I just know that she inherited a lot of stuff, and it's not somebody I would even suggest looking at pictures of, because it probably wouldn't be good, but Paris Hilton. Paris Hilton is one of, when she was more popular when I was younger, you know, she was in the news a lot on tabloids and stuff like that. You could see her all over the place. But one of the things that everybody knew about this person is that everything she had, she didn't earn. You know, and I'm not trying to talk bad about her. Just that's the truth. She didn't earn anything that she had. That she was an heiress to a wealthy whatever, yeah, hotel. And they had, yeah, Hilton hotels, right? Praise the Lord. And so she inherited all this money, and she was known for her lavish lifestyle and her partying life and all these crazy things and antics that she would do. And there's many other people that are like that. But we all think about people like that, and we think, man, they're a little bit conceited, aren't they? They seem a little bit like, it always kind of rubs people the wrong way a little bit when they see a child who has been given everything like that, access to absolutely anything that they could possibly want in the entire world. They could just go and they live it, and they go around boldly. I mean, even the cops, they don't worry about the police. They don't worry about courts. They don't worry about getting in trouble. They don't worry about any of that because they know who they are. Yeah, I'm a Hilton by God. I think somebody's alarm's going off. Praise the Lord. They know who they are. Glory to God. And so the children of God, much more so, we shouldn't be like them, but we should, in the sense that we should be conceited, and but we should have that same knowledge of who we are. And if we know who we are, then there is nothing that can stop us or keep us back. And then when we realize that God has made us who we are so we can be somewhere to affect change, well, praise God. That really makes it all that much better. But without being led, you will never make any change. Because you will try things and they won't work. Do you know what's I was reading a book this week. I was reading Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits by Brother Hagin. It's a wonderful book. You should read it if you haven't. Even if you have, read it again. But one of the things that he was talking about is this minister who was trying to grow his church. He wanted to grow his church, and he was just having this hard time with it. So he spent thousands of dollars traveling all over the United States to other churches that were being very successful, and he would go and he would see what they were doing, and then he would come back and he would implement that into his church, and there'd be no effect, even though it was growing the church over there, or it was growing the church over there. And he did this over and over and over again. And what was the problem? Because God will do one thing one place and another thing in another place. We don't look at what other people are doing. We look to see what God is doing. Amen. And so the same thing in your life. If you've been going at your life and things just aren't effective, there just hasn't been change, and you're just like, you know, there's just some. Well, then you need to embrace this even more. God has not given us the spirit of the world. He has not given us the spirit of the world, the way the world is given. But he's given us a spirit who is from God, who will teach us, so we can know. Now, the Bible doesn't say so you could get an idea of. It says so you can know, you can be assured of. Praise the Lord. When God brings something to me, praise God, I love that. Because when I don't seek it and he brings it to me, what that means is nobody can take it. I know that I'm justified in having it. Do you know that? Like, God doesn't care if some people, he doesn't care. Being a billionaire, millionaire doesn't bother him. Having an expensive yacht when there's people in the world that are dying of poverty doesn't bother God. You know why it doesn't bother God? Because God is not a God who's consumed by poverty or controlled by poverty or affected by poverty. The children of God should not be affected by those things either. What I mean by that is if you learn to be led by the Spirit of God, you won't stay in poverty. You can't. God will lead you out of that. If you're sick, God will lead you out of that. If you're without strength, God will lead you out of that. If you're lost, God will lead you out of it. I mean, the Spirit of God can lead you in situations where you have to, you know, I like to watch every once in a while these survival shows or survival things on YouTube, you know. Guys go out into the woods and they have nothing. Like this one guy I just recently saw. He went out into the woods with nothing but a plastic Ziploc bag. That was the only tool he took with him. And he started a fire with that stinking bag. I'm just telling you, I mean, it's crazy. He knew how to do it. But I'll tell you something. If I'm lost in the woods, I want to be well acquainted with the Holy Spirit, because I don't want to have to try to figure out how to start a fire with a Ziploc bag. I want to get out of the stinking woods and get back to where there's safety. Amen. Either that or, Lord, lead me to a fire. One of the two. Amen. Glory to God. By God, I got the fire of God on the inside of me. No, but you know, like we the leading of God can be so effective. Because it can save us from so much trouble. A lot of our trouble, a lot of our life is really, a lot of people's lives in the world is trial and error. They're trying it, seeing if it works. When it doesn't, they try something else. But God doesn't want us. He wants us to know. Amen? We know the things that we may know. Amen? 1 John 2:20, one of my wife's favorite scriptures, or maybe my wife's favorite scripture. It is her favorite. Praise the Lord. 1 John 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. That word anointing is also the word unction, which means it's a leading. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. So the first things that you have to understand about the leading of God, if you want to learn the leading of God, you get connected to a church. That's very important. Amen. The best that you know how. You endeavor to be in the Word, and you hunger for the leading of God. Like, I want what I say, because I haven't been given the spirit of the world, so I want the leading of God above and beyond what the world is going to show me. So when the world shows you something that you like, that tickles your fancy, as it were, praise the Lord, when you see something that just, oh, man, I just want that so bad, put it aside and just say, I want the leading of God. And watch how God will move things into your life that bless you and you don't even. I'm not just talking about stuff, but I'm talking about move you into places, moving you into a place of being, into, you know, wherever you're at. He'll put you in the right place at the right time to receive the right things. And so whatever they are, and you don't have to worry and spend all this time and trial and error trying to figure things out. The Bible says that you have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One. Literally, an anointing is a smearing. In the Old Testament, they understood the anointing like this. They looked at it like oil, that they would literally, when they would anoint somebody for an office, they would pour oil over their head. They would anoint them with oil. And we still will anoint with oil. Sometimes there's different purposes for it. Praise the Lord. I have a little jar of anointing oil right here. This is a real special anointing oil. Bought it from the store, and it's mixed just right with oil. Praise the Lord. See, oil can really be, it was funny in the Jamestown church. I'm going to tell a secret. You want to hear a secret about the Jamestown church? Their anointing oil was like vegetable oil. They just had a jar of it up there, and they pour it out in a nice cup, you know. They didn't just bring the jar of Wesson or whatever it was out. Isn't that oil, the Wesson? I think I remember that. Amen. But they, you know, they pour it out real nice, and because it doesn't have to be, because it's not the actual oil. You don't have to go to a special oil rock and mine oil to get the right oil, you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. People can get so goofy about things, amen. About that, it's about the faith that's behind those things, amen. But it was an oil and literally anointing. They would pour the oil out, and so even the Holy Spirit. I've had the Holy Spirit come on me and anoint me for things, and it's been like I've been flushed. Actually, I was sharing with Simeon last night. Praise the Lord, he was helping out in the Corey Church, and I had a question for him about a conversation that we had had I don't know, a few weeks ago about something he found, amen. And it was just something in the woods. It doesn't matter, but we were sitting there talking, and there was I have a picture, a painting. Of a old country church on the wall of my office in there, and I said to Simeon, I said, the first time I heard from God was in that church, and it was a church I grew up in, and it was, I had to get up in front of people and speak. I had to read, well, actually not speak, just read a couple of scriptures. I was so deathly afraid of it that I was just shaking and trembling and sick to my stomach. I wanted to throw up. I was probably, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, somewhere around in there, and I had to get up there, and I didn't know even much. I didn't know anything about faith. I was never taught anything really about faith other than just believing in Jesus, and I remember praying to God, and I said, Lord, help me. And just like I was just describing, it felt like somebody poured out oil. I didn't know what it was, and it started at the top of my head, and I felt it run down my entire body. And as it ran down, now this is an old country church. I mean, they don't have much faith. They definitely ain't talking about the move of the Holy Spirit here. You understand? I hadn't been taught any of this stuff, so I didn't know. And I felt it, and it ran down over me. And as it ran down over me, it carried everything that was nervous about me, carried it right away. I'm like, dear Jesus, that was pretty cool. But see, that marked me, though, for life. I never forgot that from a young age. And I remember even sharing that with my grandma, and she got really excited about it. Because, you know, it's like you don't seem to always have experiences like that. But that's literally how good God is. And what was he doing? He was showing me that his power is real. That his leading is real. And so if we'll trust in him, if we'll believe him, if we'll go to him in time of trouble, God wants to help us. Amen? He wants to anoint us, but not just that he wants to anoint, he has anointed us, because the Bible says that you have an anointing. That's part of what the Holy Spirit's job is he is to anoint us, to make us able, amen? Glory to God, and you know all things. It means that everything that you need to know, you will know, amen? It doesn't mean that we don't have to be taught or any of this stuff. But the leading of God, God wants to lead us into all things in life, amen? Now turn with me to John 16. We're going to scriptures that are familiar, I know. But again, this is just the leading of the Lord. I can't get into him enough, so I'm sure you can, amen? Glory to God. John 16, 12. Praise the Lord. John 16, 12 and 13, Jesus said to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Amen? Say to you means to give out, put forth, or to show. So he's saying, I have many things to still put forth to you, to give out to you, to show you, but you cannot bear them now. Amen? See, one of the things I've learned about God is that he doesn't reveal everything to us all at once. And I'm so glad. Because if God had revealed to me what my life would be like today, I would have run for the hills long ago. Amen? Before I even had it come upon me, I would have, because I wouldn't have had the faith to deal with it. I wouldn't have had the ability to deal with it. You know, Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. What is that talking about? Is it talking about wealth? Well, yeah, that would be a small part of what it's talking about. But really, the blessing of the Lord makes you rich. It rich means fully supplied or fully able. It means fully filled. Like when you think of somebody who's rich, again, if you think about like Paris Hilton, don't think about her, but think about the idea. You know, like if you think about that, she is well able. There's nothing that she has to worry about, nothing she has to consider as far as that stuff goes. She has access to all things. And so we understand that that's what rich is. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. In other words, he's not going to give you things that you can't handle. He's not going to put things or put things to you. He's not going to bring things to you that are going to cause you to fall into sin or to cause you to fall away from him. Amen? And so the leading of God is imperative because knowing that we can't handle all things all at once, so God will give them to us as we can. He'll give them to us in doses. Amen? He doesn't give us the full shot all at once. He gives us the dose that we can handle so we won't choke on it. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Amen. So he has many things that he still had to say, but he said, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you or show you things to come. And so here is the goodness of God, that Jesus knew he couldn't remain with us forever, that he wasn't going to remain with us forever, because he came for a specific purpose. See, Jesus could not have remained and still have covered our sins. The only way that to cover our sins, to free us from the bondage of sin, was to shed that innocent blood, and he chose to do it freely. Glory to God. But he said, I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. I know that you like it that I'm here with you, but I'm going to send somebody after me to live with you. He'll abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, praise the Lord. He's going to send him and he's going to abide with us forever and he will guide us into all truth. He will remind you of the things I said to you is what Jesus said. Amen. Glory to God. And so here we read that again, verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will show you or tell you things to come. The first thing I want to talk about is showing you things to come. It does not necessarily mean that you will know everything. God is not going to necessarily show it because there is still an element of faith that has to be with us. But he is going to start showing you. He's going to give you snippets of your life. He'll give you snippets of what's coming up. And if there's something important, he'll give you snippets of those. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit will come right out and warn you about things if there's danger. But God wants you to walk through things through the process of faith. He wants you to get to him. Like, this is why God doesn't just make us all instantly filthy, stinking rich. Because it wouldn't do any of us good. What he does, though, is if he builds in us faith for finances, what we have is the inability for anybody else to ever remove that from us. See, that's the difference. Like, if I gave you $1 million, a lot of things can happen. If I gave you $1 million in cash, man, you'd be really excited, wouldn't you? You'd go right home and you'd stuff your mattress with it. But then all of a sudden, your wife, because she's a sinner, she was out there smoking and she dropped a cigarette. And I'm just kidding about all that, by the way. But the house caught on fire and the mattress burned up. Well, you would be out without $1 million. That $1 million that could have changed your life that I gave you now means nothing to you. It could be taken from you. I could give you gold, and somebody could come in and steal it. Could they break into your house and steal it? Praise the Lord. I mean, it can happen, right? I could give you stocks in the stock market that are doing really well. Man, wouldn't everybody love to have gotten on, like getting some, gotten some Google stock on the ground floor, you know, or something like that. Praise the Lord. Dollar General stock. Yeah, my praise God. My wife knows somebody who actually got Dollar General stock before Dollar General was everywhere. Amen. And now it's like the urban Walmart or the suburban Walmart, right? It's like it's everywhere. So, we could give you those, but the stock market could crash. You know, our dollar with all this spending that the government's doing with, you know what that does to our dollar? Tanks the dollar. What happens when our dollar is worthless? I mean, you could have a million of them. There was somebody that found a, I think it was a load of Confederate cash. Got really excited. Actually, it was a Dukes of Hazzard episode. Back in the day, I remember that. They found Confederate cash, and they were really excited. You remember that one? Yeah. Little House on the Prairie? Okay. So, I think they actually did on Dukes of Hazzard, too. But Little House on the Prairie, too. Yeah. So they, but what, it was worthless. It doesn't mean anything, right? Because it wasn't backed by anything. So it doesn't do God any good to deliver us money. But when he delivers us and he teaches us about faith, and so we know that we can always find supply no matter where we're at. Listen, if all of a sudden all currency in the entire world crashed and it was worthless and all gold just disappeared, say it just all got dumped in the middle of the ocean in the Marianas Trench, which is the deepest part of the ocean over there near Japan, and you can't even get to it in a submarine. I mean, that's how deep it is. And so all the gold and silver got dumped in there, so you had nothing. You still would need an ability, and that's what God is trying to teach us by the word. This is why he doesn't just drop these things in our lap, because when he gives us the ability to produce or the ability to use faith and increase, then God has put within us the ability to have it no matter what the currency is, no matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter if you're in Africa. You say, well, wait a minute, I'm in Africa. The dollar bill might not mean something out here in the jungle. You won't need that. Maybe what you need out there in the jungle is some beads or something. I don't know. I don't know what they trade and barter out there, you know, but God will ensure that you will be able to. And so we get so focused on the wrong thing, but see, the leading of the Lord will lead us into all the things that we need, and he does so by faith, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So he's going to show us things to come. It doesn't mean we'll necessarily know everything. Another thing that it says here is that he will guide you into all truth. I love that it says guide into all truth, because just the very nature of the word guide, we understand that guiding is not something, you know, when you guide something, you're not forcing it. You're kind of leading it, but you're not forcing it. You know the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. Why is that? Because it's the same thing with people, and it's the same idea. You can guide them to where the water is. God will guide us through his Spirit. He will show us how to get things. He will show us how to increase if we need to increase. He will show us how to supply if we need to supply. But if we're not acquainted with his Spirit, we'll never get these things. We'll completely miss these things. So what our focus needs to be is hearing from God. Learn how to hear from God. Amen? We need to learn about the inward witness. But it starts right here where you're sitting today. Amen? You get in the Word, and you make a determination in your heart that I want to hear from God, and I'm going to hear from through His Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now I love this because Jesus was leaving, and He knew He was leaving. If you knew that you were leaving, but you knew you hadn't imparted all knowledge, you would do certain things to ensure that the knowledge you wanted left behind would get to you, wouldn't you? Because you know, even if you wrote it in a book, if you just wrote it in a book could be changed. A book could be, or we know that there's people that have tried, you know, there's certain pseudo-Christian cults and stuff like that, like the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, where they've actually changed the scripture. And they say, well, the scripture you have isn't right, but the new one that we have is. Well, there's something wrong with that, but there's a lot of people that are fooled by that. Amen. But how did God, what was the assurance he did is he gave us in believers, he imparted the Holy Spirit to come live on the inside of you to guide you into all that truth. And so you never have to be lost. You never have to be in a place where you don't know, you know, and the greatest thing is we have the Word of God to help us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so he left the Holy Spirit to ensure that we would get into those things because Jesus knew that he was leaving, and so he wasn't afraid of leaving. He thought he knew, and he was God, so he knew that the Holy Spirit would be enough. I said the Holy Spirit would be enough. See, what you're seeking so often is you're seeking the solution to a problem when really all you need to seek is the Holy Spirit. You don't need the solution to the problem. Because for every problem, for every solution to every problem, there's other things that can come up. Amen? You can have one. You take a problem like snow plowing. I'll use that. We get snow around here, so we have a parking lot, right? You have a parking lot so you can park people. So if you got a building and you don't have a parking lot, your first problem is that you need a parking lot. Well, now you got a parking lot so you can park people, and you got to do things like pave it and stuff like that. So that's another thing that you need. And now you do that and you pave it and all that stuff, and now you get snowfall. And there's snow that comes on the parking lot, and you get that issue or that problem. And so now what do you got to do? Now you got to hire a plow guy. So the plow guy comes in and plows the snow, and that's pretty good. Until it's one of those years where you get a lot of snow and the plow guy can't push the snow anymore, and now you've got half of your parking lot with 5 feet of snow, which happened to us 2 years ago. So now what do? Now you got another issue. You see what I mean? Life can always present issues. Every answer, there's an issue. But with the Holy Spirit, there's always an answer. So it doesn't matter what the issue is, because you always have an answer. But see, if you're so focused on the issues, you're always going to miss the Holy Spirit. You will never learn to hear from Him because you're always focused on, this is just where my problem is. This is what I'm always thinking about. This is where my attention is. Learn to put your attention on the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't matter what issue comes, He will always answer. He will always lead you. He will always guide you. And these things aren't hard. Of course, there's things as you come in. I was sharing some things with my boy here the other night. And I said, one of the things about God, one of the things, the way He's designed us, He's really made no man an island, that every one of us needs other people. He's designed it like that on purpose. So if you think that you can go through life without needing anybody, you're wrong. I said, you're wrong. We need each other. You need me. I need you. We need other people. Praise the Lord. That's just the way it is. Pride will tell you that you got to do things your own way, but pride will also keep you from getting into the things that the Holy Spirit has you. Amen? You can't do it all yourself, because you don't even draw the breath you draw by yourself. You do so by the design of God and the help of God and the love of God. Glory to God. The Bible says that He makes it rain on the just and the unjust. In other words, God doesn't care. He makes it rain. He's good. He is the reason for all things. Oh, it doesn't matter if, God has given us the ability in mankind. But with the Holy Spirit, He's given us the ability to answer, to know it. Amen? And so the leading of the Lord is not hard. The leading of the Lord is simply, it's taking steps to be acquainted with God. Amen? And remember that what it says in Hebrews 4:12. With this knowledge, you will understand that through the Word of God, over the process of time, you will get very effective at hearing from God. Now, will not be able to walk away from this message if you've never heard from God and instantly be able to hear everything from God. You won't be able to do it. It's going to take diligence. It will take you getting serious about it. And how are you going to get serious about it? Well, number one, you got to be serious about the Word. And you got to be serious about church, about hearing the Word and the revelation. Because sometimes the leading of God doesn't just come through your own spirit. Sometimes the leading of God is going to come through this pulpit. Praise the Lord. That's the way that it's going to happen sometimes, because that's the way that God does things. He does things as we work together. My pastor used to talk about this, and I've talked about it myself. I've gone to lay hands on people before to impart something specific into them and looked around for them, and they're not there. This happened actually just a few weeks ago. I was going to impart something. There was only one person that I had to impart something to, but it was something that they needed, because obviously the Lord wouldn't have me do it if it wasn't necessary. Amen. And I'm not going to do it unless the Lord has me do it, because the last thing I want to do is get into all that mess. I was there. I looked around. Nobody. They weren't there. And so what happened? They didn't receive that impartation. That impartation could have been the help that they needed for something that was coming up, or something they needed. Now, God, in God's goodness, sometimes if it, especially if it's a matter of just not knowing, He will try to get that back to them. But I'll tell you, it's when you know to do right and you don't do it, God doesn't just cover that. He doesn't just come in and say, okay, I'll forget about that. I'll give it to you anyways. No, if you've purposely rejected Him, and how you do that is through rejecting the methods He's given you to prosper. And when I mean prosper, again, I'm not just talking about, like, don't take, when I say prosper, don't take it as me just talking about, oh, I'm gonna get rich. That's not what we're talking about. Prosper in life. A prosperous life, when you're happy, that's prospering. When you're full of joy, when you're at peace, I'll tell you what, when I sit down in my chair and I'm at peace in my house, no matter what's going on around me, that's prospering. That's true prosperity. Glory to God. When when I have family members that are close to me and they serve God and they serve God with me and they're running with me, man, that's prospering right there. So prosperity doesn't always mean finances, amen? Well, glory to God. It does include it, but it doesn't always mean it. And so prospering is what God would have us to do. Praise the Lord. Man, there's some good stuff coming out today. I'm just telling you the truth. I love the Holy Spirit. This is being led. This is what being led is. I come to the pulpit with the expectation that the Lord will lead me through the service. Otherwise, I would have to have a whole sermon prepared for you. Now, when I say prepared, I would have to have every line upon line. That's how I did it originally, because I didn't know how to trust in God in that area yet. But because I was faithful to keep going to him, he taught me how to. And I remember the first time he took my notes away, and that scared the living daylights out of me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Ephesians 3:14. Glory to God. But he wants us all to be led. Now, again, being led isn't hard, and you don't even got to worry. Like, if you're a person who's hungry for God, if you're serious about this, and as I look around, I would say probably the majority of you, if I had to guess, were hungry for God. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here continually. I mean, as I look around, this is a faithful group. Amen. And that doesn't mean that people who aren't here, you know, I know Josh and Rachel are on vacation. They're faithful too, you know, and stuff like that. But, if you're hungry for God and you trust him, the first part of faith is trusting God, right? And so if you trust him, okay, Lord, you're going to lead me. And so I believe that you can. You need to chillax, right? You need to just, like, I was getting all stirred up the other night about something. Because I the Lord was showing me stuff and through some different methods, and I was getting all stirred up, and I'm like, I can't do that. I mean, I was getting bothered. I'm like, I know I can't do that. I know that's what I got to go do going forward, but I can't do that. I mean, I'm just telling you, I know I couldn't do it. And so now I'm like, so great, what do I do now? What's the choice? Do I just die? You know, is that the other choice? Do it, so I guess I just got to die and be out of the plan of God. No, that's not what he's showing me but he reminded me, he's like, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, right? That's what it's talking about. When I've called you to something, you can do it because I will enable you. So when you can't, that's when you need to chillax. You need to step back and you go, all right, I can't do this, so I'm going to allow God to help me. Now, that doesn't mean that you can just lay there, be lazy, and never put your hand to it, never have it work. You know what I mean? Because that's not going to happen either. But what I'm saying is you don't need to worry about it. But, you know, you can't say, well, I don't need to go to work anymore because I don't worry about finances. That's called being lazy. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have to be willing. I'm willing to do whatever I have to do. If God said go build a house and do this or that, that's exactly what I would do. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I talk about this church all the time. I figured I did a rough estimate once. By working on being a general contractor on this building, I saved this church at least $100,000. But because I watch every detail, I planned everything. I didn't hire architects. I played the architect. I played the engineer. I figured all that stuff out. You know, all those things, and I did those things. I wasn't getting some extra salary, and I'm not saying that to, you know, whatever. But I'm just saying that because I'll do whatever God has me to do. But see how God brought blessing. We could have never walked into this church building at the finances we had. Not like it is. We could have never. I mean, you're looking at the work, the amount of work that we did in here. Probably, you know, would have been at least $300,000-$400,000 worth of work, and we never even touched that. We were far below below that, buying the building. Amen. And so, you know, God will lead you and he'll show you how to do things. And sometimes it will cost your labors. That's the point that I'm getting to. Sometimes you will have to labor for it. But you know what happened for us right afterwards? When we finished this church building, the Lord, because we were, this is what we focused on nonstop, nothing else for like 4 months straight. We just, I mean, we were hitting it. Some nights we were here till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I think one night Justin said we were even here till 3 o'clock in the morning. Just working on it, working and working and working. We got here in the morning. I don't mean getting, you know, we got here in the morning, left in the morning. But right after we were done with that, you know what happened to us? The Lord led us into our house, a house that we never thought that we would be able to afford. The church didn't pay for it. But he led us into the house, and we were able to get into a house that we didn't think we would ever be able to be in. And there's been so much peace and joy there. And everybody who goes there, I love it because we have family members. They'll come, and they're like, they just love being there because of the peace. They'll just stay for hours because of the peace that's there. What is that? That's the blessing of the Lord. That's prosperity, folks. Because I could live in a house that was, I could live in a cabin and have no peace. But here I'm living in a nice house and have peace. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, so that's exactly how God does things. So there may be labor involved, but at the end of it, it always pays off for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Praise God. Hallelujah. Love the word of God. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father. Yep. Am I reading right? Yeah, 3:14, yeah. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I love when the Bible talks about, when it talks about the family of God or the people of God, it always connects heaven and earth. Do you know that we're supposed to have heaven on earth? Yeah. That's the way the Christian life should be, heaven on earth. That's what his desire is for us. Amen. He always connects the two. They're never separated. That's free, no charge. Praise the Lord. That he would grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through what? His spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, that's his love, may be able to comprehend. That word comprehend is also the word for apprehend. Amen. When you study out, that's really what it's saying there. That you may be able to apprehend. And comprehend means in the text, the term, the way that's used, the context that it's used, it means the same idea that you would comprehend. You know, when you comprehend, you get something. Amen. But that's what it means, that you may apprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, oh man, this is some heavy stuff, man. We were talking last night. This is the fruit filling in the middle of the pie. This is the pudding in the pudding pie. You ever had a pudding pie? When I was a kid, I used to love pudding pies. The Hostess pudding pies. Amen. Yeah, the outside was good. They had to put frosting on it and stuff to make you really want it. But that we all know that was just the carrier for the pudding, right? Amen? That's the way that you get the pudding into your mouth without a spoon. Hallelujah. That's what this is. This is the pudding, man. This is good stuff right here. Chocolate pudding. Or the cream, the creamy. I used to like the yellow kind, too. The Bavarian. Oh, the cream-filled donut, like the white cream-filled donut, the angel cream donuts, man. My Lord. You want to talk about the favorite God? The favorite God follows us everywhere. Want to hear about some of the favorite God? I don't know why I just got to tell this story. This is because you know why these stories with the Word of God will just stir you. It just remind you how good God is. So my wife and I, we ended up on an impromptu date night the other night. We weren't really planning it, but we just ended up doing it. We were out and we were like, oh, hey, we're on date night. So let's go have fun. We went out to the club clubbing and just kidding. We went out to the food places eating, and we ended up at this donut shop that's in Erie, Pennsylvania, and it's in probably the worst neighborhood in Erie, Pennsylvania, but they got the best donuts. I'm just telling you, oh my God, they'll change your life. I'm just telling you, hallelujah. Mighty fine donuts, mighty fine donuts. They are mighty fine. I'm telling you right now, oh, they're so good. I can't get past the pinwheels. I've never tried any other donuts because the pinwheels are so stinking good. And, you know, I can't eat them all the time. So whenever I go, I'm like, I'm getting a pinwheel. But next time, I might get something different. But I mean, they're just, they're thick, they're saturated, they're good. They're just so good. And they're not greasy, right? I mean, they're not, I wouldn't call them greasy, but they were good. But anyways, we go in. There's places open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're always there. I love places like that. And they've been there since like 1960s or something. So they've got like this old school vibe, and it's because they haven't updated anything in years. And that's probably part of why the flavor is so good. But we're on our way there, and my wife says to me, she's like, you know what I would really love? If they made a maple frosted donut with peanut butter filling, okay? Now, to me, that, I mean, I like maple frosting. I'm not a big fan of the peanut butter filling. I'm okay with it. I mean, and you know, if I had to, I'd eat it. But you know, that was just in her mind at that time. She was like, "This would be the coup de grace. This is the donut to get the creme de la creme. This is the donut to get right." And so we walk in there, and my wife, she likes to talk, you know, and she's just like, she was just talking to the lady, and she was a nice lady behind the counter, and I ordered my pinwheel. We're just getting two donuts. She's like, you need a box. I'm like, no, we'll eat them before we're gone. They won't make it to the curb. But she says, you know, she's like looking around for which one she wants. She's like, you know, I was telling my husband on the way here, so I really like this. Don't she explained it, you know, and the lady said, and then the lady repeated it. She said, maple frosted with peanut butter cream filling? She's like, yeah. She said, I can go make it back there and make it for you if you want. She's like, really? She's like, yeah. Praise the Lord. And so she went in there, she went back, and like not even a minute later comes out with a warm donut. This thing just came out of the oven. It must have been me. She's like, yeah, we'll do that for you. It was exactly the way she wanted it. Yeah, the favor of God. Like, God, good to speak about your donuts too. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen? Why? Because I've been in many donut shops where no one's ever offered me a donut. But see, stuff like that happens in our lives. Amen. And the closer that we follow God, the better that we follow God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so just say, I wanted to share that with you. So we'd be filled with all the fullness of God. That donut was filled with the fullness of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So the power that works in us is the Holy Spirit. It is that anointing that leads us and guides us. And so the first step and with anything, now I also wrote a faith fix that'll be coming out in a few weeks because we have a few others, but this one is coming out in a few weeks. I wrote a faith fix along these lines. But the first step in all of this is knowing this, is agreeing with the Word of God. And what do I mean by that? This is where faith begins in a Christian. We read 1 John 2:20 back there. You agree with the Word of God. The first thing you're going to say when you don't know is say, wait a minute. I have scripture that says something opposite of what I'm experiencing right now. And that scripture says that I have an anointing from the Holy One and I know all things. Agreeing with the Word. That's where faith is. Faith says, wait a minute, even though I know that I don't know, I know that I have an anointing that knows more than I know. That's the very power of God that works within us. And so the power of God to change your life is not found out there. It's not found in a millionaire sending you a check. It's not found in everything, economy being just right. It's not found in your stock investment coming in at the right time. It's not found in all those things. It's not found in your paycheck. All you need is found right on within the inside of you. It's called the Holy Spirit, the leading, the unction from the Holy One. He is waiting there to show you all things. He teaches you all things. He wants you to know all things that pertain to your life. Now, listen, he isn't going to teach me all things that pertain to Brother Scott's life because I don't need to know all things that pertain to Brother Scott's life. But he will tell him. Now, if you come to me, sometimes, you know, people will come to me and they'll desire, like maybe they're seeking and they're having a hard time because you're in the process of learning how to be led by the Spirit and things like that. The Lord may direct me as I sit with you because you're drawing on that gift that's above beyond both of us. He may direct me in those lines to help guide you that way because that's part of the way. See, this is how good God is. He didn't just give us the Holy Spirit. He gave us a church, and he gave us the ministry offices to help us know all these things. And so he's like, listen, like, yes, it's all going to point back to him. It's all going to, you know, it's all, because I tell you all the time, I don't know nothing. I ain't got nothing, man. If you just ask me, I just want what Jeff has to say. I'm sorry, man, I ain't going to help you out. But if you want what the Holy Ghost has to say, that's something totally different. See, and so that's where we're at. When God wants to pour into our lives, he wants to lead us. But the first thing that we have to do is we have to have faith that God will do so. And we have to agree with the word. Agreeing with the word. If you hear me say it, agreeing with the word is literally just that. It's that simple. And I kind of want to end on this note. So I want you to take this with you as you go. Amen. Agreeing with the word. Anything that you find in the word that pertains to your situation, agree with it. When you look at the word and you say, wait a minute, it's like, I wish I saw that in my life. That means it's your time to agree with it. This is what I need to see in my life. And so you go before the Lord and you say, Lord, this is how we pray. We go before the Lord and say, Lord, I see in your word this, but I don't see it in my life. So I'm agreeing with your word that this belongs to me. Now, you understand that you can't just pull things out of context. You know, and sometimes people do that, and as you're learning, you will. I'm still learning, too. You will. And so sometimes you may be what we call believing for something or something like that. You may have something, and maybe you're not quite getting it, and you might want input on that, and that's fine. That's what we're here for. We're willing to do that anytime. But you start with that desire, and as you go, you pay attention to how God speaks to you. When you believe that the Lord's showing you something, maybe it's a scripture that you've been sitting in service and it lit up your spirit and you're like, that means something to me. And so you go back and you study that a little more, you get back into it or whatever, or it speaks something to you, or you know you have to do something based on that scripture. Amen. And when you do that and you see, this works out, you see the end result of it, you chalk that up in your head and you say, wait a minute, that was a time when the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And as you recognize that, it will be easier and easier and easier to hear from him. Amen? And so it's all about taking steps. And here's the last thing. I'll end with this. If you miss it, you thought it was the Holy Spirit, and it wasn't, and it turned out to be just your head or just gas or something like that. I don't know. It was just something that wasn't God. And, yeah, actually happens. Praise the Lord. That was so funny. Praise God, hallelujah. Sometimes the answer is simple. Let me tell you this real quick. Do you mind real quick? I'll do it real fast because we have to go to you. Praise the Lord. My son was, we were at the last meeting that we were, when, of course, we didn't know it at the time, but it was the last meeting of Dr. Dufresne. That's what you were talking about, right? The last meeting of Dr. Dufresne that we would ever be in ever because just a month and a half later or whatever, he went home to be with the Lord. Very unexpectedly. And my son, Dr. Dufresne had a healing line, and my son had been feeling like ill, right? It was like just like stomach for a little while. What's that? He couldn't even eat. And it had been for a little while, about a week. And so he went up to have hands laid on him. And literally, he went up and had hands laid on him. And I don't think he necessarily, anything ever actually felt like it happened, any big explosions or anything right there. But he was walking back to, he was walking back to the, that's so funny, that came out. I didn't even, see, God will make you funny even when you're not. And he was walking back to his chair, and you burped, right? Sickness all gone. Sometimes the answer is easy. See, what was it? Was it actually gas that was causing him the problem? I don't think it was. But the answer was easy. And so that's what we have to know with the Holy Spirit. The answer is easy. So even if you miss it, even if you did something wrong, even if you just completely miss it, listen, God hasn't given up on you yet. Remember, God's purpose, his desire, is always to get good things to us, not to bring punishment or judgment to us. So if we're, and it tells us this in 1 John, it tells us that if we are faithful to repent, if we confess our sins before him, it doesn't say if we're faithful, it says if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So even if we miss it, we repent, God will forgive us, and we can move on, still with the leading of God. And so there should be nobody that should leave here with any feeling of, man, I just can't do it. We can't, because we all can do it. But the first step is to trust God. I have an anointing from the Holy One. I know all things. Amen.